Good morning and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Good to have your company today. Thank you to Warwick Merry for taking care of business while I was away taking care of my business. Today we talk about Australian products to help your business. We talk about the latest in technology, workplace trends, the Australian Made campaign, does it really work? And we chat with best-selling author and business builder Dale Beaumont. So as usual, a jam-packed show, and it is brought to you by our friends at Eview Real Estate. And our other very nice friend here who loves taking care of business is my friend from Telstra, Peter Bennett Hullen, who's my special co-host today. Hi, Pete.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you this morning?
Really good. Always better to have you in the studio with me.
Thank you.
Now, with Telstra being a good Aussie brand.
Absolutely.
What's the latest in technology for business? Give us the scoop.
Well, I've got a scoop for you today.
Ooh, yes, I love it.
And it's actually launched today. So how cool is that?
That is, yeah, of course.
So I brought a couple of friends in with me today.
Oh,
I brought Sam and Max.
Ah, okay.
Okay, Sam being our new Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus.
Right.
So sort of following the iPhone 6 Plus methodology and going a bit bigger.
Okay.
The Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge is the one with the curved screen, you know, the really cool curved screen, launched today, this morning at 9 a.m.
Interesting. When Apple launches, there's a lot of hoo-ha around it. Yep. Is Samsung a bit more, you know, laid back about this sort of stuff?
No, there's been quite a bit of activity around the launch, and it's selling well this morning in stores already, so there's certainly some demand for that. We had a couple of queues in our Mornington and our Rosebud Telstra stores this morning, so that was nice.
Yeah.
And I've stolen this one this morning. So you can have a bit of a look at it.
Sam, I love it because I'm a Samsung user.
Yes, you are. You've got the Note.
It
launched with the Note 5 as well, so the updated version as well.
Okay.
So there's two new Sams in the market, if you like. So pretty exciting for us today.
Yeah.
A lot of activity down in the stores.
And is it still Samsung versus Apple?
Oh, look, it's an interesting question. I mean, depending on the time of year, I mean, this time of year, obviously, there's a lot of activity coming up. We're expecting a couple of other launches in the next month or two.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of conversation about Samsung, Apple. Sony's got some new products, I believe, coming out shortly as well. So I guess in the run to Christmas, there's a lot of activity around new products and new launches. Apple, obviously, there's an announcement coming up, I think, in a couple of days about a new product or a couple of new products. We're not quite sure.
What do you think it is?
Well,
I
think it might be a new iPhone. I think it might be an iPhone 7. We're not quite sure how it's all going to play out.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of activity around at the moment. And that always brings that message of, is it Apple? Is it Samsung? You know, those sorts of things into the fore. But Max is an interesting character.
Yeah, now, okay. So we've talked about Sam being Samsung.
Yeah.
Who is Max? What is Max?
Well, Max is an update from Dave. Your listeners probably have no clue what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
The tradies out there will know all about Telstra Dave. So Dave is the ruggedized, water-resistant, scratch-resistant, dust-resistant, tradie phone.
Yeah, so it's tough.
And I know I've brought it here so the listeners will be able to see exactly what I'm talking about.
I can see.
But if they remember back to the old...
it looks tough.
Ericsson... Sony Ericsson phone with the shark fin antenna. All the tradies out there will be going, oh, I remember that. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the same color.
Okay.
But it's a completely different phone. It's a smartphone, fully Android. It's got a 15 megapixel camera in this thing.
How does that compare to the Samsung, to Sam?
Well, they're completely different products. But as far as the camera is concerned, it's a 16 megapixel camera in the Samsung. So they're pretty comparable in terms of camera technology, because our tradies these days, they're using these not just as a tool of trade. They use it for entertainment.
Yeah.
They use it for all sorts of other activities other than just making and receiving phone calls, checking their AFL scores, making sure that Collingwood's winning. All of those things, we all know about that.
I knew it squeezed Collingwood in.
Always do.
But
it's brand new as well. So there's a couple of new products.
So Max, effectively, the point of difference is that it's robust. It's
absolutely
tough.
Absolutely.
So for tradies that drop it or in the water or drop it on the ground and there's sawdust and all sorts of things.
Yep.
It'll cope with all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You know, I've had guys drop it in tins of paint, pull it out, wash it. There's sometimes a little bit of paint stuck in here and there, but the thing works.
Has it got an extended warranty?
No extended warranty, no. But it does have the ability to connect an external antenna. So when they're out and about, you know, maybe they're away on the weekend, they're out, you know, four-wheel driving and those sorts of things, you can get the extra coverage footprint as a result of the extended external antenna as well. And it's blue tick, which means it gets the best coverage of any of the phones on the network.
How often should you update your phone? Just when your plan runs out?
Oh, look, it depends on what you do with your phone, to be honest. I mean, I burn through my phones fairly quickly because I'm on them all the time.
Odd. That's because it's your job.
I know I'm
odd. It's your breaks for Collingwood. That's odd.
Thanks. But, you know, it really depends on how you use your phone.
Yeah.
These are a tool for business.
Yeah.
They're not just making and receiving phone calls.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Yeah, there's so much more. So back to business.
Mm-hmm.
Another product I've noticed, well, I can't help but notice everywhere I go, is Telstra Air.
Yeah.
Now, they're on phone boxes or these little sort of pink, bright pink sort of hubs with Telstra Air on it.
Yep.
And could you explain, what is it?
Well, it's Australia's largest Wi-Fi network. And that's essentially it in a nutshell. So it's you would have seen them on phone boxes. You would have seen them around the place with the pink sort of Wi-Fi logo, as you said. They're also now being brought into the home. So you can purchase or you can connect to a Telstra Air bundle with your home internet. And that then becomes part of that modem then gets partitioned for a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Okay, so most home and office broadband have quite a large amount of gigabytes that you can use.
Yep.
And so it means that you can tap into that
storage of it
and use it outside of the home or outside of the office. Is that it in a nutshell?
Not only outside of it. So this absolutely in a nutshell, you've got it right. It's the ability for you to take your home data allocation and use it while you're out.
Okay. So I love that.
So it's not, so, you know, typically we all look at our mobile data usage and we look at, oh, no, I've got 1 gig, have I got enough? All of that sort of stuff where you've got 50, 100, 200 gigs sitting at home that may not necessarily get used. Well, here's the ability for you to take that home allocation, use it anywhere you can connect to one of these hotspots. So, you know, we're talking about the phone boxes, but now we're also talking about people's home internet being securely partitioned to allow you to connect when you're out and about more broadly. And the fantastic thing is with this deal is that you can access it internationally as well.
Oh,
so if you're traveling overseas, we've got a partnership with the FON network internationally, and there's something like 15 million FON Wi-Fi hotspots around the globe that you can now use your home data allocation when you're traveling. What a fantastic thing that is.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, hold that thought
because
we're going to have a quick break and we'll be right back on the other side of this break talking about the Australian Made campaign with my special co-host from Telstra, Peter Bennett-Hullen. We hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on our interesting conversation. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on RPPFM. Welcome back. We are Taking Care of Business, that iconic music. We all know what that was. We are talking about A Land Down Under, an Australian brand, Australian Made campaign. Ben Lazzaro, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. Now, Ben, how long has the Australian Made campaign been running for? It feels like a long time.
Well, the logo, should talk about the logo. That's been around for about 30-odd years.
Yeah, right.
86, it was established by the then Hawke government. And coincidentally, at the time, the green and gold colours were chosen at the time that green and gold was made the official sporting colours of Australia's international sporting team. So that's why you have the green and gold kangaroo logo there.
Right. And the actual Australian Made campaign business, has that been running for 30 years as well in conjunction with
it? No, so we're a not-for-profit organisation. So very important to point out that we're not-for-profit and we're not funded by the government. And we've existed in that form for the last 11 years.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Now, this latest campaign that you've got running, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so part of our remit as the Australian Made campaign is to promote the Australian Made, Australian Grown logo, that famous green and gold kangaroo. And so as part of that, we run a number of campaigns through the months, I should say, to to help consumers, on one hand, identify genuine Australian products. So you'll see billboards and digital advertising and a little bit of TV and radio at the moment that is trying to educate consumers that if they want genuine Aussie products, they just have to look for the green and gold logo, the Aussie green and gold kangaroo. And the reason for that is that I guess the best way to express it is that we're a third-party accreditor is one of our roles. So products cannot carry the green and gold kangaroo logo unless they're first satisfied a range of criteria that establishes that they are indeed Australian-made or Australian-grown products. So it gives the consumer that extra confidence that the products that they're buying are genuinely Aussie, because there are all sorts of other mechanisms out there, labelling and branding mechanisms, to give the impression that a product is Australian when it may not be.
Yeah, of course. So if a business is listening who is an Australian product and are interested in using the Australian-made logo, Ben, what's the process for them to get accredited?
It's a very, very simple one, and it's a good point. We think it's an extremely valuable marketing tool for businesses that are making and growing things here. It really differentiates them in the marketplace, but not only here but overseas. But it's a very simple process. Their products have to comply, and there are a set of rules, and they're quite straightforward. And that's included on our website at australianmade.com.au. So they go through a small desk audit where they tell us how they make their products and what they make them out of, and sometimes they're very simple processes, sometimes they're more complex. So it's just a short phone conversation. They fill in an online application form and sign a legal document that ties the claim to the company making the claim, and then they're free to use the logo. And that process generally takes 3 or 4 days from the time that you apply through to approval and delivery of the artwork. And away you go, and you put that logo on all your approved products. And sell them here, and if you have markets overseas, then we would encourage you to use it in those markets as well, because the logo is very well revered in, particularly in Southeast Asia and the US.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had a show a couple of weeks ago talking about Australians doing business in China, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear that the Chinese absolutely love Australian products. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. Many of our licensees will attest to that. We've got a lot of anecdotal evidence that say that the Australian-made logo, particularly in China, is considered the official logo of Australia.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that's technically not the case, but that's how it's viewed. So when a product, in particular in health and beauty or baby products or food products, when products carry the Australian-made logo in that market, there's real confidence that the Chinese consumer has in that product, that it has been not only made in this country, but it's been packed here as well, which is very important because there's been a lot of contamination issues in China with their own local manufacturing. So the fact that the product is made from in our clean, green environment and made to our high safety standards and things like that, and then it's packed here as well, it allows Aussie businesses to firstly charge a premium for the product, and then gives the confidence to the Chinese consumer that that product's going to be one of high quality.
You've been over the last 11 years since the Australian Made campaign business has been running, not-for-profit business, I should point out. What differences or trends have you seen over the last 11 years with not only Australians but internationally buying Australian products?
Well, firstly, that there is an overwhelming sentiment in Australia, particularly at the moment, given what happened with the imported frozen berries, there's a real interest and maybe a larger focus on buying Australian. And the challenge is always to make sure that that interest or that intention to buy Australian then actually translates into a purchase when you get to the retail outlet, whether it be a supermarket, a hardware store, or wherever it is, because a lot of the research shows that people have very high intention of buying Australian, but then when it comes to the crunch, they often don't follow through. So that's part of our messaging, is to always encourage consumers to follow through with that intention. And we're seeing some real sentiment in the marketplace that would demonstrate that that perhaps is happening. There's more knowledge around the implications of the purchasing decision. So if we buy Australian, then we keep people employed here. We develop employment opportunities for our kids and our friends and so on, and family members. And we're also buying something that, let's not forget, that's grown in our clean, green environment and made to our very high safety and quality standards. So we're seeing that change in the marketplace. And then, as you mentioned before, we're seeing new markets open up for Australian manufacturers and growers. Free trade agreements obviously have some positives and negatives associated with them, but one of them is it opens up new channels to market for Aussie businesses.
Ben, if any business listening wants to find out more, where can they find more information?
We suggest that they go to australianmade.com.au, or they can call for free on 1-800-350-520, and one of our staff can talk them through any questions they might have about becoming a licensee, or if they've got a query about a product that carries the logo, we can always do our best to answer some of those queries as well.
Yeah, it's always something to be proud of. Ben Lazzaro from the Australian Made campaign, thank you very much today for your time.
No worries, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. The Australian workplace has seen a lot of changes over the past 5 to 10 years, or 5 to 11 years, as Ben's just talked about, particularly with the rise of entrepreneurs, which has been very much the Gen Y area. A lot of Gen Ys like to be entrepreneurs. And then the benefits of working from home. So we're not doing that work-life balance anymore. It's more about blended workplace, which I find really fascinating. And our next guest has tapped into this trend, Laura Watty from Greenco. Hello.
Hello, thanks for having me on today.
Good to have you. Now, how have you tapped into this trend of working differently?
Well, I think it came out of a situation where I was working from home. I experienced what it was like. As my business sort of developed, I realised that that was something that I could tap into, because that was something that I would have wanted when I was a first-time business owner on my own. So,
right.
Yeah, I'd heard about them and just thought, yeah, I think that that's something that the community would really connect with.
Okay, so you run a business called Green Design, is that right?
Yeah, so I've been running my business for about 6.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Started in the back corner of my home.
As everyone does, it runs their own business, yes.
Yes, and then, yeah, as the years progressed, I convinced the husband to convert our lounge room into my office. So it started to take over the home, and I employed people, and we started joking that it wasn't a home anymore, it was a hoffice, because it literally it did take over the entire house. And yeah, we got to the stage where we either we would move out, the office would move out, or we would move out, Paul and I. So we decided that the space was so great, and I'd heard about co-working, I looked into it, I thought it was such a great concept. As a sole business owner, it can get really isolating on your own. So having my staff and my team made me realise sort of how great it was having people to work alongside. And I thought that that would be something that people around the peninsula would enjoy as well.
So you've decided to stay at home, or did
no, we've moved out.
You've moved out.
Yeah, we moved out. Yeah, the office stayed.
The office stayed, right.
And the home left.
Okay, so Greenco is now in your home.
Yeah, so Green Design takes up about a third of the space, and the co-working environment is the other two-thirds. Yeah.
So this co-working, just explain a bit more how that actually works.
Yeah, so the desks, you are sharing a space with people. So we've got 6 co-working spaces. So, you know, you can collaborate with people. There's a bit of networking. And you can rent a desk for a day. So it's quite a casual thing. Or you can rent it for the week. And you can do it on a casual basis or a permanent basis. So it's sort of really flexible to work with different business owners, because we all have different needs. Yeah.
So Laura, what sort of people are taking up this opportunity to work in this co-space?
Most of the people that are working from home, so we've had nutritionists, we've had copywriters, photographers, so people that are quite isolated on their own and wanting to connect with other people. We've mostly had people come in for the one day, so they'll come in and just really smash out a whole lot of work in one day. They've been finding that they've got 2 days worth of work out of one day because they're not doing their washing, they're not getting sidetracked with other things, they're not going for a sneaky afternoon break. They're paying for the space, so they're actually getting a whole lot of
productivity. Okay, so they're using it as
done.
A motivator, as a
driver. And we've put some great things into place in the space. So we do stretches twice a day. So at 11 o'clock and 3:30, we stop for 15
really?
Minutes. Yes.
Can you pop in just for the stretches?
You can if you like.
Do you ever watch Utopia on ABC? That show called Utopia. Oh, I highly recommend it. And the show just recently had the stretching every 55 minutes they had to get up and stretch. But it was very funny. I'm sure this is it as funny? I'm sure it's funny.
Well, we don't have a set routine, so everyone just kind of does their own thing, which is kind of fun, you know. And it's a good chance to get up off your desk, have a bit of a break, because otherwise you just sit there all day. So yeah, we've been implementing that so people can join us for the stretches, and we've also got a lunch time. So you can do lunch on your own time, but if you want to join us for lunch, we've got that at a set time as well. So it's really about connecting, having a chat and talking ideas and just getting out of that isolation.
How do you book it? Do you book online?
Yeah, you can book online. Yeah. So we've got a booking software for the desks, and we also have a meeting room. So if people want to do a workshop or a professional meeting space, they can book that as well.
Fantastic. And where can they find you?
It's at grenco.com.au, grenco.com.au.
And whereabouts physically are you?
In Darva Drive in Mornington. So you know the little group of shops there. There's a little milk bar. There's the Flock Cafe. We're above the chiropractor.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just nice and private.
And have you been busy?
Yeah, we've had lots of people doing the casual bookings, so the one day a week. So now we're just trying to focus on getting some people in there permanently. So we start a little sort of community, I think would be nice. Yeah.
You know, this is a fantastic idea. I mean, we were talking earlier before the show about the meeting room functionality. Even for, we're not a single owner business that you're targeting, but for businesses, retail businesses that, want to have a strategy meeting or a planning meeting, you can never find space in your business with customers and with staff and all those sorts of things, distractions, to actually do this. It's really difficult to find a place where you can go, have some quiet space, book out an area and do this sort of stuff. I mean, this is a fantastic initiative.
Well, I'm assuming it's cost competitive because, following on, Pete, what you were saying, if you were to do that, you'd have to go and hire a meeting room at Quest or somewhere.
We've gone to community groups to hire out halls and things like that to do training sessions. Mm. I mean, this is a fantastic way of still being able to find that quiet space but to have those important meetings, to do the important stuff that's part of running every business every day, but to get away from that environment where you get distracted and you get caught up in other things as well. So I don't think it's just necessarily for that single person working from home, but it's actually for, it has a whole range of different applications. Board meetings, for example.
We've had some doctors, a group of doctors that came in to do their strategy meeting, and a local fitness centre, they came in to use the meeting room specifically, to talk their strategy through as well.
How many does the meeting room?
Just see? 8, yeah. Oh, okay. So it's not huge, but enough for, if you've got a few people to get together. And we've got a smart TV in there so you can connect to the internet and a whiteboard, things like that. So, it's been really handy. And then just people, we had two businessmen that came in for 2 days. They just had a project that they wanted to work on in some private space. So it works for different people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about cost.
Yeah. So
how much is it all?
so the meeting room's $30 an hour, so you can book it by the hour, or $120 for the day.
That's cost effective.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I've just been inquiring for a client down here on the peninsula. They're coming from Brisbane for a conference for one day, but they're a bit more than, I think there's 15 in the group, but $500 a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
For a meeting room.
Absolutely. This is.
You should know that, Laura. Didn't you do your homework? Is that how you got your price point? Maybe you're too cheap.
Yes, I did do some research, but probably I was more focusing on the desks versus the meeting space. So that's the price for the meeting room. And then the desks, depending if you take a 6-month term, if you book one day a week, it's only $25 for the day.
Oh, so that's fantastic, isn't it?
And that includes all your Wi-Fi, the tea and coffee, some printing as well. We've got a printer that you can use.
Leg stretching.
Leg stretching. And the stretchers.
Do you have to enter into a contract or a lease with
for,
you?
For that, there's some terms and conditions. Yeah. And just some policies, respecting other people's space, that sort of thing. And then, just the casual. The 6 month also, if you're doing the whole week, it's $18 a day, so $90 a week. And that, then you can bring in your own stuff. We've got going to get some lockers so you can keep things on site. Mm. But then if you're just a casual, you're just here and there, you want to book a space, it's $42 a day for that. Or if you're doing the whole week, $32 for the day.
So how good's that?
It's so competitive.
Yeah. Because people are working from home now, so you might work from home 2 days a week and think, those 3 days I need to go to an office. Yep. So people would take a lease, be paying for space that they're not using, where this is much more cost effective.
And a lot of our market, particularly on the peninsula, is telecommuter type people that might do a couple of days from home. They might have an important client come down or something along those lines, and it's not necessarily appropriate to sit with them in the lounge room or to sit with them in a cafe.
Yeah.
What a fantastic way of being able to conduct a professional meeting in a professional environment at a reasonably low cost.
It's good. The cost is good.
Yeah, we wanted to make it a no-brainer. So
it is a no-brainer, Laura. You've done well. I think it is.
Well, I think that, maybe you might have not enough desks very quickly. You might be looking to expand it somewhere.
But, yeah, we just really wanted to fill it with great people and make it affordable for, business is, it's all about your costs and your profit. And we just, wanted to make it that people just didn't have a choice but to say yes, really.
I've been asked a lot from people running their own business and particularly those working from home, Jackie, can you do a show about working from home? And we've done little bits and pieces, which today's another one, and talking to them because I work from home as well, so I can understand the frustrations, but I'm not there 5 days a week. But for people
isolation.
But it's not only that. If you are self-motivating, you can do that. But there's so many distractions. The washing, and so if there's a deadline, I've paid for this space.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the most of it. And it's not distracting because other people there are respectful because they're there working as well.
And I think the other thing I noticed, because when I did move out of home, how much you wear your business even when you are at home. When you're sitting on the couch, your business is right there. It feels like there's no retreat. So to me, I think also because it was taking over my whole house, I realized when I left that when I shut the door at the end of the day, it was so nice just to walk away and think I'll deal with the rest of that tomorrow.
See, this is about running your own business, that stress management, all those mental little leg ups help a lot, don't they?
Yeah. And if you can be more productive in that time that you have, that when you do get home, you're not doing work, I think, getting a bit more of that balance.
And think of the creative conversations that take place around lunchtime.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people from different businesses working in the same space, that collaboration and idea generation sharing. I mean, there's another thing that sort of naturally comes out of bringing different people from different backgrounds, from different industries together in the one environment. What a great way to do that.
I love it.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Will you stick around for the rest of the show?
Yes, I will.
I'd love to have you here. We are Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this. We are Taking Care of Business, Aussie company and one of our most successful business education companies, Business Blueprint, has just launched the world's first, I love a world's first, 24-hour small business channel. And we have the founder and best-selling author, Dale Beaumont, on the line. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for your time today. Now, what is Business Blueprint?
We're a business education company and we've been running in Australia for now 6 years. And during that time, we've worked with over 10,000 business owners across Australia and New Zealand, running workshops and seminars. And more recently, though, we've created a brand new website. And on that website, we're live streaming business education to 185 countries around the world. So basically, we've taken our little idea from Australia and we're now going global.
And it was just launched recently. How's it going so far?
It's going really well. We've had over 6,000 people tune in, and we currently have subscribers from 97 countries around the world, which is
fantastic.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Some of them I've never even heard of before, which is interesting. And it's going really, really well. Because we've been running events for 6 years, we've recorded hundreds of hours of content, and up until recently, it's just been in a private kind of area. But we've decided to now take it out of the vault and make it available for free for people all around the world. And that's what we're doing. And we've received amazing feedback.
Do you think that small business has often been ignored from this perspective? So a lot of, television shows and radio shows have been very focused on big business and very finance focused as well, I must say. So actually having something that's focusing on small business and covering a range of topics, do you think that's one of your keys to success?
Yeah, because there are shows or channels out there like Bloomberg Business and also even Sky Business in Australia as well, but they focus normally on news of the day, and they focus on big business, and they focus on the price of the Japanese yen and what's happening in the S&P 500 and the latest takeover from BHP, and all of those have a big kind of stories. But one in every 10 people in Australia are small business owners.
Yeah.
And where is the content for small business? There's great shows like this that people can tune in for great audio listening. But in terms of video, there's not one place where people can go to access fantastic content streamed to their computers that gives them really good education. So we've decided to do that. And what's great about the channel is that people can watch it on any device. So if you've got 5 minutes and you're waiting for a taxi or you're at the airport, you can literally just open up the website and you can watch education streamed to your phone. So we work on phones, we work on tablets, we work on computers. And we're also in the process right now of building an app which will work on people's smart TVs, and you'll be able to watch our streaming service through televisions within the next couple of months as well.
And how can business people find it?
They can go to businessblueprint.com, and they can get a free subscription. At the moment, everyone gets a minimum of 3 months free subscription, and they can watch literally hundreds of hours worth of business education content streamed to any device for free. So it's really cool.
That is really cool. We'll put a link to our Facebook page. That's really exciting. Congratulations. And I also wanted to have a chat with you about your latest book. You love writing books.
Yes.
So tell us about the latest one.
Well, the latest one that I've been doing is actually a part of a series. It's called The Secret Exposed Series. And what I do is I interview highly successful business people in a range of different topics. So we've done one on marketing, we've done one on sales, we've done one on leadership, we've done one on small business, we've done one on male entrepreneurs, another one on female entrepreneurs. And I really love interviewing successful people, because you can do anything in life one of two ways. One is through trial and error, or the other is through following a recipe from someone else that's already been there and done that. So in these stories, I go out there and do all the hard work. I interview these successful people. I take all of their best ideas and put it together in one book. So they've been a lot of fun to produce those, and they're still available through bookshops or through our websites as well. And people can actually, get those books and access interviews with lots and lots of people.
Yeah, I always have a view of success leaves clues. So it's always good to follow the leader. So I highly recommend that read, Dale. Now, in your experience, much like myself, in a way that we speak to lots of experts and lots of different people from a variety of different industries, in your experience or your view, what's the biggest business trend that you've seen recently?
Biggest trend, I think it's still evolving in businesses moving on to online, and that's been something that's happening over the last decade, and that's something that still continues to affect business owners. But I think the next big trend is in terms of technology, and you can use lots of technology for different tools, but there's a lot of industries now that are being really disrupted by technology. For example, I saw in China recently, they've built a 3D, large-scale 3D printer that can effectively build a two-story home within 3 days. And so it's reported that within the next decade, half of the people that are currently working in construction won't be working in construction anymore because we'll have machines doing a lot of building. In America, in McDonald's stores, they're even having people that are flipping, not people flipping burgers anymore, but machines flipping burgers and literally making food. And so I think this is going to be a trend that we're going to be hearing a lot more about is how we're going to be using technology, how we're going to be using robotics and machines in order to replace a lot of previous manual labor. Now, straight away, people kind of fear people are going to be losing jobs left, right, and center. I think that some jobs will start to be replaced, but other jobs will emerge. I'm always the optimist when it comes to these things. And if we think about, we've had machines. It's going to a whole new scale, but we've had machines in manufacturing for the last 50 years. And we've still got low unemployment. So I just think it'll be a transition. There'll be new industries that will emerge and new opportunities for business owners. But this is a trend that we're going to be hearing a lot more about, robotics, machines, technology, starting to affect every person in business.
Yeah, I think our business is going through unprecedented change. And I think it was Peter Drucker that said, if you don't change the way you're doing business in the next 5 years, you won't be in business. And what's the one thing or one bit of advice that you would give a business that they think that they should do to survive in those next 5 years?
Yeah, I think, I remember getting this advice when I was starting out in business, and one of my mentors said to me that in life and in business, you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. And that's one of my favorite things.
I love it.
You're green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. There is no such thing as standing still in business.
Mm.
When I meet someone that goes, I've just got it all figured out. And, that's the moment whereby they're already losing their edge, because you can never afford to say, this is the way we've always done things, or it'll all be okay. You've got to keep evolving and changing. And you're right, the change is now accelerating even faster because of the new generation, which is now entering the workforce and making up a larger percentage of Generation Y, because they're the first generation that grew up with computers in their home and computers in their classroom. So they're having a massive effect on accelerating the growth of change, because prior to Gen Y, only about 2% of the workforce was working in sort of the areas of IT or working in areas of technology. But now where you have 5% or 10% or 15% that are competent with computers and technology and software and learning how to program, things are going to change even faster. So I think that there will be some people that unfortunately will stick their head in the sand and go, and resist change. But if you're one of the business owners that are going to embrace change, then you can stand to make a fortune over these next 5 or 10 years, because most people won't change. But if you do, then you can reap massive rewards.
Yeah, just like our friend Charles Darwin said, that adapting to change is the key to success. Now, speaking of success, all those successful people that you have been talking about in your book, is there one thing they all have in common? And can you share that if there is one?
Sure. I think if it had to boil down to one thing, a lot of them will have skills around marketing, and that some of them have skills around leadership, and some of them are great communicators. And all of those skills, they're important, but there's no one formula for success. But if there is one thing that they all have in common, it is resilience.
Okay.
Because I used to think that if you were successful, somehow you had an easy path, or somehow, you got lucky. But what I've discovered through the books is the people that were the most successful have had to deal with the most amount of challenge, the most amount of adversity and obstacles. Mm. And I was when I interviewed Tim Pesic, who founded Nudi Fruit Juice, he was growing very, very rapidly. And then they had a major fire that swept through their entire factory. And as the fire was literally burning to the ground, his manager said to him, well, what do we do now? Thinking he would be, he should be devastated and distraught and just completely in shock. And his instant reaction was, well, we better start looking for a new office first thing tomorrow. Like, without even skipping a beat,
he's
like, we've got to move on. There's nothing that we can do to change this situation, but we can choose how we respond to it. And that's what I have come to understand. The people that achieve the most amount of success have to push through more obstacles and barriers than anyone else.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice and a nice way to leave it there. Dale Beaumont, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
I wish you all the best for Business Blueprint. We'll put a link to our Facebook page and also your latest book. And people can find you on your own website as well, Dale, can't they?
Yeah, my personal website is dalebeaumont.com. They can check me out there, or the channel, which is fantastic. It's got heaps of videos already playing at businessblueprint.com.
Yeah, world first. Congratulations. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. We hope you are building up your knowledge from the best in the business world on taking care of business. You're on RPPFM. Welcome back. We are talking about using Aussie products to help your business. If you just joined us, you missed a lot, but there'll be podcasts on the RPPFM website. Telstra, call me, contact me.
Call me, maybe. I like
maybe.
That one.
Maybe. You like that? Yeah, Peter absolutely. Bennett Hullen, my special co-host from Telstra. And we also have here Laura Watty from Grencode for our roundtable wrap-up.
Yep.
And that was Dale Beaumont.
He's fantastic.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah. I've actually gone onto his Business Blueprint website while we're sitting here and having a sneak peek at some of those videos. Really interesting
stuff.
They
are good, yeah.
Really interesting.
So that Business Blueprint was only launched this week. Yeah. So I recommend anyone go on and have a look. He's got some really good videos and articles on there.
And a great place for small business to access information
that
otherwise they wouldn't necessarily have the ability to access.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. Yeah.
He's been around. He's little, so young, but he looks young.
He does look young.
But he's been around forever. I must admit, I've heard of him for a long time, but I've never seen him. I don't know why. I never thought what he looked like. So in prep for today, I looked up and I expected someone sort of maybe 60, you know, and then I went, whoa, you know, unless he's had some serious work done, but I don't think he has.
It wouldn't appear so.
No, it doesn't appear that he has.
There's only so much work that you can get done.
That's right.
True, yeah. But he's got a really good energy and I like his style. Yeah. He's got some really, really good stuff.
And his comment about resilience.
Yes.
How good was that?
Yes. Mm. Oh, I thought the question was pretty good.
The question was
excellent. But I thought the answer was better.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's not about being automatically successful.
Yeah, I like looking at these common threads because quite often from a psychological side, I love neuroscience side of things. And psychologically, as I say, success does leave clues. Mm. And I like looking at common threads. So you start looking at, okay, all these people are really successful. They must have one thing in common. What is it? Mm. And I often I ask that question to people like Dale, who speaks to, you know, as he said, he had over 10,000 small businesses through his courses in New Zealand.
Yeah,
it's
incredible.
And think of how many business people and how many people he speaks to on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
So resilience is really important, isn't
it? And controlling the controllable, you know, not worrying about what you can't control and you can't influence. I mean, that factory burnt down, you can't do anything about it, but you've got to get on and get on with business. So, yeah, it's interesting to gather these insights.
Yeah, interesting interview question if you wanted to test someone's resilience. I think I'd fail. Someone said, you know, you've started your business, Grencode, for instance, Laura Watty, and it burnt down. How would you cope with that? How would you react to that?
Well, I think you'd be in shock to start with.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think as a business owner, I always am a builder. So I'd always think, okay, what next? What's next?
See, success.
Yeah. It's that philosophy,
isn't
it?
What would you do, Pete?
Well, I don't know. I'd panic probably.
Oh. Have a bit of a cry for
the initial thing. Well, it's interesting because there was there was on the news recently a Telstra store burnt down in Port Melbourne.
Mm.
They're back up and running in a shop on wheels 3 days after. Now that's resilience. Their team's back, they're engaged, they're into it. That's that recipe, that's that message coming through about get on with it. You can't deal with what's happened. Just get up, get going again. It's fantastic.
And sometimes it draws people together, you know, like through a tragedy, people get stronger and you might be able to, you know, change your idea or morph into something else, and it might have happened for a reason. You might go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. There was this article on one website. I have so many that I subscribe to that land in my inbox on a daily or weekly basis. We all do that, right?
That.
Yeah, we get that. So, and there are some better than others, and you tend to sort of figure out which is the good one. Anyway, this one had what does Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Richard Branson, and Hillary Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, and they went through, it was 10 people, all successful. What's one thing they have in common? That's probably what inspired me to ask that question. And what this person researching it found is they all read books.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. So they all actually read books. I don't know if they're on their Kindle or whatever, but they actually do read books. So they spend less time watching TV and actually read books. And I thought that was interesting.
Stimulating the brain, doing all sorts of things.
So I don't know, are we reading less or more now, do you think?
Oh, I think I'm reading more, but I'm not necessarily reading books more.
Mm.
I'm reading more stuff because the information is available and it's visible and it's everywhere. But interesting, reading books does a whole host of other things as far as imagination and creating creative thoughts and all of that sort of stuff that potentially maybe we're not doing as much as we were once upon a time.
I think we're reading too much. Oh, God, it's a terrible thing to say, I know. But I think we need to be filtering what we're reading a bit more because our poor little brain is not coping with the amount of information. We're getting information overload. And I think physiologically to cope, we start automatically filtering. So we're missing things and we're, you know, listening to things we don't need to. So I think we maybe need to be more selective about it.
Well, you and I had a conversation the other day exactly about this. Writing things down gets it out of your head and creates space for other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like a computer, our brain. There's only so much space. I know we don't use as much as we possibly could, but as far as memory is concerned, I know this from a neuroscience perspective, that there's only so much information that we can actually take on.
Yeah, I've just started doing something with my workday scheduling as well. So I'm creating specific pockets because I don't know if you guys find, but sometimes you do get overwhelmed and you're trying to do too many things at once. So if I've scheduled a point in my day that I know, okay, I'm going to be doing this or it's going to be reading a book and I'm just absorbing that information instead of trying to do, you know, so many different things, I think that can make a difference as well.
The pearl of wisdom.
Absolutely.
A pearl of wisdom to finish off. I'd like to thank our guest today, Laura Waddy from Greencoat. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's been great.
I'm gonna come in. I'm gonna book a spot and come and check it out because it sounds too good to be true. It sounds fantastic. No, I wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
And also my co-host Peter Bennett Harlan from Telstra. Always good to have you. It goes fast, doesn't it, the time?
It does go fast.
Also like to thank Dale Beaumont and also Ben Lazzaro from the Australian Made Campaign. We hope you've heard lots of good advice today and inspiration. Don't forget you can see Taking Care of Business on Sky Business News. They do have a small business show. It's only on for half an hour. On Tuesdays at 2:30, you can series link it. So join the discussion. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Australians are well regarded in the business world and we are from a great southern land. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.